Mini episode 790 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 790. It's your favorite football talkers anywhere. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross coming at you. Some might call me the outlandish Rich Morris, and I suppose I can live with that. But my picks in recent weeks have been, I won't say outlandishly good, but they have been rebounding. It was a good week last week, 9-6-1, 101-97-10 on the year. In order to do what I did last year and be profitable for the year on all my plays, I got to go plus 8 over the next 3 weeks, which is a tough thing to do. I'm plus 10 over the last 10 weeks. I was looking at where I bottomed out, so I got to go at a much better pace than I've been at, but I'm just glad with week 15 being here, I could be in the conversation for making it happen again. 2-1 on my big three.
Speaking of bottoming out.
Yeah. 2-1 on my big three, 17-22-2 for the season. Likewise, I bottomed out on that a long time ago. I've been something like 11-6, I think, over my last couple of weeks here. So the big three, as ugly as it is doing a lot better than since that point. The
Speaking of bottoming out.
Ugly.
Speaking
well,
of bottoming out.
Speaking of bottoming out. You could be speaking of my lock picks.
I'm not talking about you, pal.
0-1 last week on my lock, 3-12 for the season. And yes, on a similar note, last week, the K-Dog at 0-5, 29-42, if my math is right. So it has been
here.
The year of anti-science. What can we say? It's the year of anti-science, Kyle.
Yeah, you're telling me. And, hey, don't forget, people, if I don't bankrupt your take all your money away, the Trump administration will. So, you know, one way or another, you're fucked.
Better the bookies get it.
you're fucked, okay? If you're not dead broke by week 17, you'll be dead broke by month 17. I give you that, for at least if you're in the working class out there.
Well, if people do a moral thing as well as a financially correct thing in this day and age and invest in fossil fuels, I think they'll be just fine, Kyle Ross.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I mean, dignify that.
You're right about now.
So I have a conundrum. I'm actually going to do something. Let's make this show fun. Not that it always is.
Okay.
Fun, but let's make this show fun this week, okay?
Say, yeah, it is. Okay.
Okay. And I'm going to leave this up to you to decide. You literally are going to determine how I behave on this. You're going to determine how I behave on this show. Do I, as per usual, just kind of go with and cherry pick the games that I normally would? Or in a desperate attempt to salvage the regular season record. I believe I finished over 500 every year on this show, many times well over 500.
Are you kidding me? You've been like 60%. You've been like 60%
yes, okay.
Every year. That's what makes this all the more unthinkable.
Okay.
I mean,
right.
You've been highly profitable. I have to say this because because it's too convenient for you to say it, but over the course of 5 years, you have nothing to apologize for. People have made plenty of money, hand over jerking fist, I would say, for 4 years going into this one. So, whatever.
Okay. Do I, that being said, pick every game this week?
That would be my advice, to be honest with you. It couldn't go any worse than it's been. You're gonna make up ground if you do it, Kyle. I'm pretty sure you're going to make up ground.
Let's do it, and I'll highlight the ones that I would go with anyway. There's a few that I may. There is a few that I may refuse still. That I just out of principle.
That's fine.
A few games that I just hate, including the Thursday night game. I'm not picking that game. You can't make me. I'm already cheating.
I was going to say, if there's a game you were going to lay off, I would have assumed it would have been that one. We'll kind of gloss over it as per usual because of when we get the show up every week, which is right about ground kickoff time, give or take. 4-9 Rams at the 8-4-1 Seahawks. Thursday night, 8:25 Eastern Time, CenturyLink Field in Seattle on NBC. Michael Collinsworth and Heather Cox are on the call. Seattle is laying 15 in this one, up from 13 initially, and this is one where, again, you look at the recent history between the teams here, and you expect it to be instinctively just kind of closer than this based on, again, how they've matched up the last couple of years, any kind of Jeff Fisher has gone boost, which I would expect to see at some point in the last 3 weeks here. But too many things pointing in the direction here of Seattle just kind of rolling. If nothing else, the embarrassing losses that they've suffered to the Rams the last couple of years are going to be motivation right here, as if blowing their playoff seeding even worse than they have isn't motivation enough. So reluctantly, I'm going to be on Seattle to cover the 15.
And, you know, as bad as last week was, I don't know if they've blown playoff seeding. Certainly they're not in the conversation for the top spot anymore. But
right.
I still think they're going to end up number two when all is said and done.
Probably.
A couple things.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously I can't guarantee that. But,
right.
You know, that's, you know, my lean, I should say. All right, a couple things here. This number's gone through the very key number of 14. Rams can now lose by 2 touchdowns and still cover this game. They have lost and failed to cover 4 in a row coming in here. Jeff Fisher, you know, long live the king. The king is dead. Thank God. What a move. Although,
yep.
Very curious that they would fire him on a short week. Who is coaching this game, by the way? Who's coaching? I don't even know who's coaching the Rams.
Jim Fossil's son. He's a special teams guy, John Fossil.
Oh, okay. I thought he was like some 6-year-old that like Jim Fossil just like had running around the house and just said, "Do you want this?" Okay. I'm not playing this one. I will say
they are putting all their chips in the middle of the table, Kyle Ross.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Interesting thing here to look at. Both teams last week massacred by the turnover bug. The Rams, the scoreboard was ugly, as it was for Seattle. 42-14, the Rams lost. They were -5 in turnovers. They actually outgained Atlanta in that game. Seattle actually outgained Green Bay, and they were -6 in turnovers. So, again, you know, I know I said I'm going to pick them all. It'll be almost all of them. This is not one of them. The line's obviously huge because everyone and their mother knows the Rams have beaten the Seahawks 3 straight times.
Absolutely. Could be a classic revenge spot here. Instead of skipping to Sunday, as we generally do, it's that time of year, we skip to Saturday instead. Saturday evening, it's the 8-5 Dolphins at the 4-9 Jets, 8:25 Eastern Time from MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey on the NFL Network. Mike Tirico and the bitter midget mullet Doug Flutie on the call for whatever reason.
Oh, geez,
and this is
here we go.
I'm not a big Doug Flutie guy. For a guy who backed
Ron
Johnson as equal as he was. Miami is
Bill's
laying
into the playoffs since.
Miami's laying 2.5 in this one. It's been kind of a steady 2.5. They will be going without Ryan Tannehill, which until the last month or so wouldn't even be regarded as any kind of a handicap against them. But the way that he's been playing recently, Adam Gase really does practice black magic here with what he's been able to get out of him. Instead, it's going to be the venerable Matt Moore coming off the bench, putting down the clipboard and actually having to get in there and mix it up as a starter as opposed to showing some of his magic coming off the bench as he did last week here. You know, this is a division, and this is just kind of a feel thing in my gut, but I remember weird and inexplicable things in the AFC East in December in the last couple of years. It's inexplicable to me that the Jets could get up for this one enough to win, but it is a rivalry game. These teams don't like each other historically. Just based on AFC East weirdness in December alone, I'm going with the Jets.
Can I ask you a weird question?
Go for it.
You watch like ESPN in the middle of the day, right?
I did not.
Sometimes. Oh, well, I mean, you're familiar with it, at least. I mean, you're always a big critic.
Not today, but I have.
Okay, no. So
I have.
You know the talking heads, though, right? Do you know that Katie Fagan girl?
Yes. Yes.
Is she a lesbian?
I think so. Don't quote me on that. I don't want to speculate
if she is, and she ever wanted to convert to, she ever wanted to go back to the other side, and I ever get divorced, I would gladly sleep with her over her comments on his and hers a few days ago when she claimed her number one bet to even sports was the stupid eye test. Okay? I mean, I was in awe. I almost took a picture of the phone and sent it to you. I don't know why I didn't. I don't think I could find the phone at the time. But God bless her. Ironically, I am in the same place as your gut, though, now that I'm done with that soliloquy.
Okay.
This line should be a pick 'em, in my opinion. The NFL Network was probably not counting on Matt Moore v. Bryce Petty. Your Jets did win last week. Jets, they're a little better than their record, in my opinion. I mean, they're not much better, but they're a little bit better. The Dolphins, for all this talk about Adam, I still only have them rated, I think, like 24th in my power rankings. This is not – they are one of the many teams this year that is just clearly overperforming. They're just not very good, and I think they're due to drop one. And Saturday night games, on the road, seems like a good ideal spot. Give me the Jets. This is a game that I would have recommended regardless, but I'm absolutely doing it now.
Speaking of ESPN alternative sexualities, Kyle, I know LZ Granderson has probably made a number of comments you've agreed with over the years. Is there any kind of parallel offer you'd like to make to him?
No.
Okay. No. Just checking.
Show the stuff. No.
Okay.
Absolutely not. Okay. What the hell is wrong with you? Not that there's anything wrong with
that.
For
a long time. There's
no,
still
not that there's
answer
wrong with
what's
that.
Wrong with me, Kyle.
By the way, I think – hold on here. I want to check something here. I want to try to bring some levity back to this broadcast as we're perhaps calling people lesbians that aren't, and I'm talking about getting divorced and having sex with them. That's a real professional program.
We've gone off the rails
Miami,
a little earlier than usual.
Okay, yeah. Miami yard-per-game differential. 28th in the league. They're getting outgained by 40.8 yards per game. That's twice as bad as the Jets, who are 25th. By the way, folks, this is not the last time I'm going to reference yard per game differential on this telecast. It will be the last
Adam
time.
Adam Gase's greatest skill is winning.
It's not a skill. There's no chart for that. It is the last time I will reference potentially having sex with a lesbian, though. I can assure you that.
Well, in the next 10 minutes anyways. But moving ahead to the Sunday night game, which is for whatever reason next on the sheet here, I think because it was flexed into
because
that
it
spot.
Was flat.
The 8-5 Buccaneers at the 11-2 Cowboys, Sunday 8:25 Eastern Time at Jerry World in Arlington, Texas on NBC. Michaels, Collinsworth, Tafoya on the call. This is one where Dallas is laying 7 points over Tampa Bay. And again, maybe it's those fancy advanced statistics here that have the spread as big as they are, as well as Dallas being a public team. This was almost one where I went the other way. This was very, very, very close to a why ask why pick on Dallas for me, because I don't think in any known solar system that we have right now, the Cowboys are 7 points better than the Bucs, which if you're watching them, are coming together very, very nicely. And it was somebody, I think it was Robert Mays, that had a great article recently on the way that their defense has really been pulling it together. Mike Smith, an incredibly underrated defensive mind. Tampa Bay's on a roll. The Cowboys, all of a sudden, they have an identity crisis, a quarterback. You know, like to go back to some of our previous talks here, much like a teen kid kind of questioning him or herself about where they fit into the universe, so to speak.
Stop that. That's wrong.
That's where the I'm comparing it. That's where the Cowboys are right now. They're having a similar crisis of identity, Kyle Ross, a quarterback. Tampa Bay is going to cover and perhaps even win this one.
Yeah, I disagree. This is Ezekiel Elliott's coming out party. How do you like that for sticking with your team there? Okay. I like Dallas to roll here. Tampa Bay, I'll tell you why they're favored by 7. I don't have them in the top 20. Vegas doesn't have them in the top 20.
Goodness.
Most rating systems don't have them as a top 20 team. They're another one, like Miami and like some of these other teams we're going to get to, that I just think are way overperforming. They've been outgained on the year. They've been outscored on the year. I just don't think they're that good of a team. Dallas, for all of its struggles, has been backdoored in the last three games, has been backdoored twice, and Odell Beckhamed once. I mean, I thought kind of controlled all three of those games despite being 0-3 ATS. I think this is a classic game where the public's going to fall in love with the underdog, foolishly so. Give me Dallas. I would not have picked this one normally, but I'm going to now just to spite you.
Okay, well, in terms of how Vegas views the Tampa Bay Bucs, if we're to talk in terms of that wanted term, the eye test, clearly Vegas's vision on the Tampa Bay Bucs is not 20/20. That's all I can say. We move right along to 5-8 Eagles.
Did your eyes not watch the first half of the season?
It's well, I've been watching what they've done over the last 5 weeks. They're looking pretty awesome right about now, this just in. So we'll see if they keep it up. I think they will to whatever degree, at least to cover. It's the 5-8 Eagles at the 7-6 Ravens, 1 o'clock Eastern time, M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore on Fox. Five-time Lounge guest Kenny Albert is paired with Daryl Moose Johnston and the lovely Tandalora Oakman on the sidelines. This is a game where Baltimore is laying 6 points up from 5.5 initially. And, again, you look at the way that both of these teams are headed right about now, and I expect those ships in the night to continue sailing in basically about the same direction right now. Carson Wentz, again, not as great as he looked the first month of the season, not as much of a worthless chode as he's looked recently. The truth is somewhere in between, but right now he's in the worthless chode part of the tailspin as a rookie that teams have adapted to at this point in time. So I am on Baltimore in what is basically a must-win spot for them, trying to keep pace in the AFC North. I got them laying the six.
Is it a must? Well, I guess they can't afford to fall two back, I suppose. Because I was going to say, because they have the opportunity to sweep the Steelers, which I don't think they're going to do. I think next week's game's in Pittsburgh, if memory serves me correct.
Mm-hmm.
This is one I'm not going to pick this one either, to be honest with you. Sorry. I think I'm going to pick the rest, though.
Okay.
The Eagles really let me down last week. Yeah, the Eagles really let me down last week with that loss in Washington. They're like 0-5 in close games. It's really weird with the Eagles. I came into this year, remember, predicting that I thought they might be the worst team in the league. They started 3-0, making me look very foolish, and then they've kind of been every bit as bad as I thought they would be since then, just winning two games. They're really, really struggling. But I kind of think they're, you know, it's weird. Like, a team that started out much better than I thought is now much worse than I think they are, if that makes any sense.
Kind of. Yeah, I mean, more or less,
it's
kind of one out in the end.
Yeah. The Ravens are a team, too. What do they have left in the tank after a tough Monday night loss? I would be very scared about that as well.
Okay. All right, so your only pick to this point has been Dallas, yes? Just making sure I got that right.
And the Jets.
And the Jets, okay. You're on the Jets as well, okay. All right, so, yeah, the Eagles have been doing – they were doing great in the month of September. Ever since then, they have been standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona. We move along to the next one here, an ancient rivalry in the NFL. It's the 7-6 Packers at the 3-10 Bears. 1 o'clock Eastern time from Soldier Field on Fox. Kevin Burkhart, John Lynch, and the delicious Pam Oliver on the call here. Green Bay is laying 5.5 up from the initial 5. It had gone to 6.5 at one point. It had kind of ballooned, but it has settled back down in that spot there. And again, Packers, another team here. We're going to talk about this a lot this week, teams with momentum. And boy, do they have it recently after being written off earlier in the season. And this is one where, again, you know, something you taught me long ago, Kyle Ross, never take a team if you don't to cover if you think there's zero chance of them winning the game. There is zero chance of the Bears winning. I think we're almost overdue for the correction to start with this post-Jay Cutler offense, and I think it starts here. I look for the Packers to keep the roll going and to cover the 5.5 points at Soldier Field.
Completely opposite side here. I guess there's only two opposite sides, but I guess that was a combination of I'm on the opposite side, and I completely disagree. I am going with the home dog, which will be a major theme for me this week. I think this spread is off by several points. It's just home dogs are my thing. The Bears have a better yards per game differential, believe it or not, than the Packers this year. Spoiler alert, Chicago will absolutely find itself on my most improved list this year, for next year, I should say, once they find a real quarterback. And Green Bay, as I said earlier when we talked about the Seattle game, you know, chances are you're going to win when the other team gives it away 6 times. They were outgained actually by Seattle last week. Their stock a little too high right now. Give me Chicago.
Ooh, two teams with pretty mediocre stock, two Midwestern Dome teams there facing off against one another. It's the 6-7 Colts at the 7-6 Vikings. It's what we might call the 6-1, half dozen of another bowl. 1 o'clock Eastern time from U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis on CBS, Kevin Harlan, Rich Cannon on the call. This is a game where Minnesota is laying 4 points up from 3.5 initially. I am going to, being the good bitter clinger that I am, use the same
kind of rationale for making my pick here that I did in last week's game involving Indianapolis, which is to, in a spot like this, defer to the team with the better quarterback. This is a game where, again, if the Colts flop another one here at another point, and again, I understand that few people in sports have been done as much of a disservice by their coaching staff and the personnel people as Andrew Luck. But at the end of the day, you got to find a way, if you are a star NFL quarterback, to take a couple of these winnable games here. I said that about him earlier in a game against, I think, Tennessee. I used that rationale. They rose up. They got the job done. So I think I'm 1-1 when using that rationale with Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck against Sam Bradford, give me Andrew Luck. I got the Colts getting the 4 on the road.
Give me the rest of the Vikings against the rest of the Colts. Give me the Vikings. I don't see, you know, this line, I think, on the look ahead was 3, which was really eye-opening because I don't know in what world these teams are even. I just don't. I mean, the Vikings, I don't have a ton of regard for them. I was very surprised when they were 5-0, and then I kept warning regression's on its way. It has hit, but I have a lot less regard for the Colts. Really awful loss last week at home to the Texans that I think ultimately dooms their season. I just think the Colts are bad. I mean, if other than Andrew, I mean, yes, they have a great quarterback, but you know, when all the pieces around them stink, you can't lift anything up, in my opinion. Give me the Vikings.
Well, interesting. Well, one could say perhaps that Ryan Grigson is perhaps the Cleveland Browns of general managers. I would certainly agree with that. Speaking of which, the 0-13 Cleveland Browns are at the 6-7 Buffalo Bills. 1 o'clock Eastern time from New Era Field in Orchard Park, New York on CBS. Tom McCarthy, Adam Archuleta on the call. This is a game where Buffalo is laying 10 up from 9.5. Originally here. And again, I have been pretty clear over a period of time, as I was before last week's game against Pittsburgh, where I believe that was one of my big 3 picks, where I said the Bills were going to go down. You have a lot more regard than for the Bills than I do, I guess, you know, fancy advanced statistics and all that kind of stuff. Having said that, I got burned on something else here last week. You look at these games that are potentially winnable in the last couple of weeks for the Browns, or at least coverable. And at this point, I'm convinced that they're all fool's gold. I thought they could win outright against Cincinnati. If that's the best they could muster against Cincinnati, they have no chance of, I'd say, even staying close here. I learned my lesson. I burned my hand on that proverbial stove. I'm on the Bills laying the 10.
Yeah, I am too. Fuck it. I would never lay 10 normally on the program, but I'm going to here. I just don't know in what world this spread shouldn't be higher. I mean, every single rating system I use says this number should be at least a field goal more. You know, I mean, I've got, you know, 13, 17, 15, 15 and a half. The Cleveland Browns were awful, and maybe you know this better than I. What is the deal with the Browns and 49ers if they finish tied? I think I've asked you this before, and maybe we didn't know at the time.
Here's the deal.
Did we know that?
Well, I alluded to this last week that I've been rooting very hard for the 49ers to win a game because that would obviously clinch it for the Browns.
Yeah,
I think the Browns are going to need that if they win a game because I think it goes to strength of schedule. And the Browns at this point would lose in that to the 49ers because the 49ers, I believe, have played an easier schedule, which perversely would grant them the number one pick.
See, I don't think – that's crazy. The Browns can't try – you know, I mean, people don't want to hear this, but the Browns shouldn't try to win games then unless that the 49ers are 2 games clear. Like, that's really, like, I know 0-16 is embarrassing and no one wants to do it, but you don't want to blow your chance at the number one pick. I mean, is
well,
it really
yeah.
that big
I mean,
of a
has
deal?
Has all this been for nothing?
Yeah, I mean, we went 1-15. Who cares? You still blow. I mean, this
yeah.
is a franchise that needs the build, and if they've got their choice at the top, I mean, that's the way to do it. So, yeah, I mean, they have no, believe it or not, with the 49ers kind of blowing some winnable games, the Browns have just no reason to try to win at all. And Rex Ryan's coaching for his job, by the way. We should point that out. I did the big gulp about 15 minutes before kickoff last week. I did have the Bills, as you so astutely pointed out, against the Steelers. That pick sucked. But I did the big gulp when the report came across the wire, Rex Ryan potentially in danger. I was like, oh, great. And, The Bills should have been blown out a lot worse last week. I'm man enough to admit that. Some uncharacteristic interceptions from Ben Roethlisberger kept him in that game. and that was it, because they had no answer for Le'Veon Bell. That game was over.
I agree
very,
with
very
that.
Quickly.
Yeah. AFC South matchup here. It's the 2-12 Jags at the 7-6 Texans. 1 o'clock Eastern Time, NRG Stadium in Houston on CBS. Andrew Kettle on, Steve Kasper, Steve Berline on the call, and this game in the stadium where Super Bowl 51 is going to be held. Spoiler alert: the Jaguars will not be returning to play a game in Houston during this season. Houston is laying 6 points, up from 5.5 initially, and again a spot where. At the beginning of the year, I had the Jags making the playoffs, which, again, before anybody laughs at the hipsterism of that, I also had the Raiders making it. So, you know, one very good, one very bad pick on that one here. Still don't have a lot of respect for the Texans, not least of which because of the way they're getting dragged down by Brock Osweiler, not least of which because of that. And it's not like, again, it's not like Blake Bortles is redefining the quarterback position as we know it in 2016, but I'm on Jacksonville in this spot here, too. 6 is a lot for Houston to be laying to anybody. I know you may tell me, Kyle Ross, the advanced statistics may have them better than I think, but I don't have a lot of respect for Houston right now. I'll take the Jags to cover the 6.
You really don't have a good grasp of advanced statistics. Like, I love how you're like, fancy numbers. I'm like, and I'm sitting here thinking, what's so fancy about quoting what a team gained versus allowed. It's not very fancy. I think that's like, it's pretty easy to find. To kind of illustrate that you have no unearthly idea what the advanced say about the Houston Texans, let me point out that they are one of the worst rated teams in the league, according to advanced statistics. Advanced stats loathe the Houston Texans. Football Outsiders, I think, really loathe them. I think they have them at like 30th in the league or something god-awful like that. My own rankings, I have them at 26th, which is really low for a first-place team, obviously. I have the Jaguars 29th. That gap, not very big. I think the Jaguars probably have a better yards-per-game differential than Houston. I'm almost positive that they do. Let me just check real quick.
So
while
you're checking, I'll just narrow that down to shorthand and say that the advanced statistics in this case then are right about how bad the Houston Texans are. So this is a case where we can say that they get it right instead of getting it wrong. So,
the advanced teams always get it right. They always get it right sooner or later. Yes, Jacksonville, believe it or not, has outgained its opponents this year, despite the horrible record. Houston is has not outgained. I'm on Jacksonville, in case you haven't been able to figure this out yet. Put them down.
Jacksonville.
Will be Jacksonville, along with Chicago, are in line to be my two most improved teams next year. Jacksonville when they get a new coach,
that.
Chicago when they get a new quarterback.
I can kind of see that. All right, still almost about half our games to go here. We got the 5-8 Saints at the 5-7-1 Cardinals, 4:05 Eastern Time from the University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale on Fox. Chris Myers, Rondé Barber, and Caps Lounge guest Jennifer Hale on the call on this one. This is a game where Atlanta is laying 2.5. It's been a pretty steady 2.5, so they're a short favorite here. And I feel that they are, you know, at this point in time here, too, again, but both of these teams really hard to, kind of grasp where they're coming from. The Saints have been improved defensively in recent times here, but I feel that it's just more of a gut than anything else. I feel like Arizona's got a little more left in the tank right about now than does New Orleans. So I'm on them to win and cover at home.
What a great game this is. Number one and number two teams in the league in yards per game differential. This is the game that America needs to be watching on Sunday, as far as I'm concerned. Arizona under the 3 at home, I'll take them.
Okay.
I'll take Arizona.
All right. So we're in agreement on that one.
For time, so that's all. I'll leave it at that.
All right. So you're on that. It's the 1-12 49ers at the 8-5 Falcons, 4:05 Eastern Time from the Georgia Dome in Atlanta on Fox. Tom Brenneman, Charles Davis, Chris Spielman, and Peter Schrager have been sentenced to watch the 2016 49ers play in this game. This is a game where Atlanta is laying an even 14. They had been 13.5 at one point. And, again, one thing going in the favor of the 49ers here, an East Coast time zone game, but 4:05. This is one where, again, there is just so much pointing towards Atlanta just absolutely rolling in this spot here. I know you don't like when I use the term fix, Kyle Ross. So I'm just going to say Illuminati special. Sometimes you get things that happen for no discernible reason in the NFL, and you just know that certain people are making piles of money off of that. Things that happen again for, I repeat, no discernible reason whatsoever scientifically. San Francisco covering the 14 would be one such instance. I hope to be one of those people, at least figuratively, that is sweeping some of that money towards myself. I'll take them getting the two touchdowns.
Yeah, the numbers does seem low. I'll concur with you there, and I'll also concur with you in taking the points with the 49ers. I talked about it earlier in that Atlanta-Rams game. Yeah, Atlanta blew the doors off the Rams on the scoreboard, but it was because of turnovers, not because of really anything else. And, you know, turnovers can swing a game so much. You have a team off a blowout win like that, laying a big number. That's just a tricky spot. I meant to bring this up with the Browns, but it actually applies to the 49ers too, so I can say it anyway. Both teams have only covered two games this year. In the last 20 years, this is courtesy of ESPN's chalk section, by the way. I'll give credit where credit's due.
Okay.
I can't remember who wrote it, but it was a real eye-opener. There's never been a team in the last 20 years to cover fewer than three games in an NFL season. So the Browns and the 49ers at some point are due to probably cover at least one more. And for the 49ers, I think it will be here. But by the way,
you
they haven't favored each of the last 2 weeks, the 49ers.
Right. Yeah, just a weird kind of a spot on the schedule for them, no question about it. Up next, it is a rematch of the AFC Championship game from last year that all of a sudden seems so far away for the team that hosted that game then and is hosting this game now. It's the 11-2 Patriots at the 8-5 Broncos, 4:25 Eastern Time from Mile High on CBS. Jim Nantz, Phil Simms, Tracy Wolfson, Jay Feely on the call in this one. New England is laying 3 points in this spot here, and perhaps the advanced statistics will tell me that I'm wrong here, but the number just seems very, very low for the standing of these teams right about now. The way that the Broncos have been kind of slipping on the banana peel the last couple of weeks here, and again, against good teams, which I now admit that Tennessee is, and certainly Kansas City among the very best. But this just in, the Patriots are that damn good themselves. So if that's how they're looking against really good teams here at this point, I'm almost tempted to go on Denver. It's almost a why ask why, but I'm on New England, only laying 3.
Short week on the road, thin air, Denver playing for a season. Give me the Broncos plus the points. This is a classic 80-20 game. I think it's even more like everybody's on New England in this game. I think like 86% of bets are on the New England. Come on now. That's not going to happen.
Okay. All right, the old public reasoning here, that does prove out many different times, no doubt. Up next, it's the 10-3 Raiders at the 5-8 Chargers, 4:25 Eastern Time from Qualcomm Stadium in San Diego on CBS. One of the last times I'll be mentioning that particular stadium ever, I think. Spiro Dietas and Solomon Wilcots are on the call. Oakland is laying 3 points, up from 2.5 initially. And, again, what I just said right there is a decent part of the reasoning for my pick here. It's a game that Oakland has to have 3 extra days rest. San Diego's got 1 foot out the door because they're going to L.A. next year, and they look like a team with 1 foot out the door at this point here, too. Oakland to cover the 3, I think, comfortably.
San Diego just looks like a team with 1 foot. I mean, it's getting comical. I mean, I look up at the screen last week. Melvin Gordon's getting carted out. Joey Bosa's face down. I thought he was dead given the way their season had been going. But you know what? Fuck it. Take San Diego. Another anti-public home dog. Give me the Bulls, a team that has played better than the Raiders, by the way, according to yards per game differential. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm glad we still live in a world where the scoreboard rules the story, but that's a
oh, I wish we did too, because then your Ohio State Buckeyes wouldn't be in the college football playoff. Very so again, very selective application of the rules there. Yeah, trust me. Head to head only matters. Head to head only matters when you like it. I see.
I got two words for you, Kyle. First down. Up next.
Yeah, I got two words for you too, pal. Can't say them on the air though. Let's fuck the others. You.
Yeah. Up next is the 5-8 Panthers.
Oh, did I just say?
7-5-1 Redskins. 8:30 Eastern Time from FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland. Sean McDonough, John Groom, Lisa Salters on the call on ESPN. The Redskins are laying 6.5, up from 4 initially. And this is a spot here, again, the line just keeps getting bigger and bigger in this spot. And I do understand that there's a lot of disrespect out there for the Panthers, and rightfully so, based on how they have looked through the totality of what can only be called a disastrous season. But, you know, it just right about now, you look at these two teams here and, you know, use that old vaunted term, Kyle Ross. I got to go eye test. Do I think that Washington is 6.5 points better than the Panthers? I do not. I don't think the Panthers have fallen that far. I'll take them to cover the 6.5, and I think they're a live dog.
Yeah, I'll take Kakalaki as well here. You know, very, you know, Cam Newton, again, you know, he brushes off some questions on the sideline or in the press conference. He gets labeled a bad guy. Tom Brady's hooting and hollering, oh, what fire. What a competitor he is. You know, Kirk Cousins is yelling stupid catchphrases after games. Oh, we love him. Kirk Cousins is a tool. I don't like him.
I know you don't, but well,
the Alex
I got
Keith
a
the NFL.
I don't know if his politics are quite as impeccable as Alex P. Keaton's. We'll have to take a look at that one there. We'll have to look into
that.
I bet there's
something like Alex P. Keaton. I don't know about impeccable.
We going on to my big three picks for the week here. I was 2-1 last week. I've been going pretty good in that direction recently here. Up first, it's the 9-4 Lions at the 9-4 Giants. A very possible first-round playoff preview, albeit that one would be at Detroit if it played out that way. 1 o'clock Eastern time from the Meadowlands on Fox. The A-team of Buck, Aikman, and Andrews is covering this one. This is a game where the Giants are laying 4 points, have been 4.5 at one point. Kyle, I got a little bit curious here. I started because, again, I've had this just general sense of, again, I have Detroit higher in my power rankings than you do. I got them 8, which is probably a lot higher than you do. But, hey, to me, you got to put somebody in there. Nobody feels really deserving from 7 to about 12, I got to tell you. I mean, you got to put some teams in that spot there. Detroit's record this year, keeping in mind they're a 9-4 team, they're 0-2 in outdoor games. They've lost at Green Bay and lost at Chicago, albeit much earlier in the season, milder conditions. But 0-2 out of 9-4, I'd call that unproven in the elements this year. Give me the Giants laying the 4 points for the first of my big three.
You know what's funny? I rip on the Lions all the time. I don't have them as high as you, but I have them at they've climbed up to number 12, although last week they reverted back to their usual selves of trailing in the fourth quarter and coming back to beat an inferior team. But you know what? I have the Giants, like, significantly lower. I have the Giants, like, barely cracking the top 20. They've been even luckier this year than Detroit, and it's interesting because I had the Giants making the playoffs to start the year. But I'll take the better team getting points here, the Detroit Lions. Giants off kind of a fluky win on Sunday night against the Cowboys, in my opinion.
You're on Detroit. Wow, okay. By the way, you do know the Giants have beaten Dallas twice. They've accounted for Dallas' only losses this year. You do know that, yes?
Yes, I combined 4 points in 2 coin flip games.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure of that. Up next in a game where I am almost
if they played
sure
tomorrow, I would take Dallas.
Okay.
And if they played the day after that, I would still take Dallas.
Sure. A game where I'm almost sure that our picks are at cross purposes. It's the 8-5 Steelers at the 5-7-1 Bengals. 1 o'clock Eastern
yes,
time
they
at
are.
Brown Stadium in Cincinnati on CBS. I've been doing this long enough, I can call that ahead of time. Past lounge guest Ian Eagle on the call with Dan Fouts and Evan Washburn. Pittsburgh is laying 3 points here at the Natty. And, again, if you think that I'm being overly simplistic when I say how the hell is it only three, then, again, you know me very well if you know that's what I'm about to say. It doesn't get much more straightforward than that in my estimation. You look at the way Pittsburgh's been playing recently and the Bengals. Oh, yes. An impressive win last week against the Cleveland Browns. Congratulations for that. Notwithstanding, I am on Pittsburgh, laying the 3 on the road.
Another 80-20 game with a short road favorite. I'll be with the 20% of people. Very interesting considering my political views, I guess. But I think the Bengals are going to treat this game like their Super Bowl. Interesting, if the Steelers win here, there's a good chance they go into the playoffs, Ryan, a 7-game win streak. They wrap up at home with Baltimore and Cleveland. And I think they're going to win both those games. So I think second of back-to-back road games, I think they're due to slip up.
I think in light of what you said about politics, there's probably a crack to be made here about you being pro the top 20%. But
yeah, that's what I said.
We don't have time to flesh that out.
Very ironic given my politics, yes.
Yes. All right. For my 1,000-star, gold-plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 15, it's the 7-6 Titans at the 10-3 Chiefs. 1 o'clock Eastern Time, Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City on CBS. Greg Dumbel, Trent Green, Jamie Erdahl on the call. This is a game where the Chiefs are laying 5 points down from 6 initially. My recent methodology that I've been using, which has been at about a coin flip, and you say, how could it be a coin flip when you said that your picks for the year are 3-12? Well, that's real easy. My picks have been that because I started the year like 0-11. So when I say that I've been about 500 with this new methodology, I'm not lying. So, or actually, I guess I would be 3-11, I guess, if this is week 15. So, all right, wow, hey, yay, one game better than I thought. Yay for me. But anyways, my methodology has been the game that I feel the weakest about as far as picking a side. That's what I'm going to go with as my lock. And this is one where, again, I have a pretty good feeling that Kansas City is going to win this game, but to cover the 5 points, don't know. And certainly the Titans are a live dog even on the road. And you look at the game the Chiefs lost to Tampa Bay a couple of weeks ago, and the same kind of blueprint is right there. But I look at the – this is thanks to USA Today Sports Weekly. When they're talking about close call games, the Chiefs right now are 6-1. The Titans [S2] Yep. [S1] Are 4-0 in games – decided by 6 points or fewer. Of the two streaks,
oh, Rick
I feel
Morris
the Tennessee
going to the
won.
Fancy stats.
Well, some of them. The advanced stats I like are the right ones. Let's just say that. But anyway.
Good Lord.
In looking at this, I feel that the Titans streak is more likely to end than the Chiefs streak, and I think it will be a game decided within a touchdown. Having said that, so I think that the Chiefs will probably win this one by about 6 or 7. And cover that 5.
I'm not picking this game. This is a really hard game to call. By the way, Kansas City.
It is, isn't it?
Whoever would loves because they stay out of the headlines and they keep their nose down and do the right things. They're fucking 29th in yards per game differential ahead of the Rams, 49ers, and Browns. Give me a break. I can't wait to play against this team in the playoffs.
They may surprise you, Kyle Ross. You know, as I believe Colin Cowherd said a couple weeks here, you know, They're like one of these, cleaning service companies that's not very sexy, but they're efficient. They earn their money week in and week out, Kyle Ross. Not that I ever liked
what
to quote Colin Cowherd, but I'll make an exception.
What does that mean? And now you're quoting Colin Cowherd? I've heard it all now.
What has the world come to? Yeah. Well, if I can quote him to quote
you. What does that
even
mean, that
George.
Quote? What, other people don't earn their money? Well, what is he saying?
He's saying that they're not sexy, that they're a grinded
yes,
out workman-like kind
said.
Of
you
a
know,
team.
You know, people think they're, oh, yeah, like, I just don't think they're that good, really.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you would say you're confusing not sexy with not good. That's what he would say. Not what I'm saying.
I shouldn't say they're not good. I should say they're an average team that's had a lot of good fortune go the way. No one is even close to their turnover margin the last 2 years, which I believe is hovering over plus 30. Even with
right.
last week's minus 3, that's insane to be plus
right.
30 in turnover margin over a 2-year span. Insane.
It really is. So my big three
fancy
picks
stat.
Are the Giants. I got the Giants and the Squealers, and I got the Chiefs here as my lock pick. Your picks for the week here, let me see if I get this exhaustive list here. It's Dallas. It's Buffalo. It's Arizona. It's Detroit. It's Chicago. It's Jacksonville. It's San Francisco. It's Denver. It's San Diego, it's Cincinnati, and it's Carolina. Did I get them all?
The Jets? Did you have them in there, the Saturday game?
The Jets as well, yes.
That sounds about right. I'll email them to you, and we can go over them.
All right. Well, I look forward to that. I look forward to that, and to a winning Week 15, Kyle Ross. I know that we will have that.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.